for December 15th, 2005. I'm Simple's mom. On today's show, an update on my training, some animal in the news stories, and then one of the perks of working in downtown Chicago. First up, my training. On Tuesday, I was scheduled to do 200-yard swimming followed by 20 minutes of running. And I did both of those. The pool was actually empty when I was there, so that was kind of fun. And then I went and did the run on the treadmill, and it wasn't too bad. My legs weren't tired. I didn't really feel like I was going to fall over too much. And then when I finished, I decided to go hop on the bike, and then I was on the bike for probably about 10 minutes. So I managed to get all three sports in one day, even though it was very small amounts of time for each one. But I've decided that I'm going to sign up for a adult swimming class at my gym. It'll start in the middle of January. I just feel like I need a little more guidance on my form and especially my breathing techniques and what I'm supposed to be doing so that I'm not just flailing about. And I think once I've learned what I'm supposed to be doing, it will make it, you know, obviously easier. I won't be as tired when I'm swimming. So I think I'm going to sign up for the intermediate level, even though I don't really consider myself to be an intermediate swimmer. But I think the description for the beginner swimming was something like, beginning swimming is for the person who wants to become more comfortable in the water and something like that. And then the intermediate swimmer was said, it's a focus on technique, and swimmers must be able to swim one length of the pool without stopping. Well, I can obviously swim one length of the pool without stopping, so I think I'll go ahead and sign up for the intermediate. And I guess if it's too hard, I can always go to the beginner if necessary. So the training is going along fine, and I have no complaints thus far this week. Okay, now some animal in the news stories. First of all, I came across an article in the New York Times about a cat that is the subject of a custody battle. Now, when I originally saw the headline, I was thinking that it was like a divorce case and, you know, both the husband and wife wanted the cat. And I was immediately thinking, you know, back to law school about how, you know, the cat's property and all of that stuff. But then when I started reading the article, it's something completely different. What happened was someone had a cat they had adopted or found or whatever, you know, in like 2000. And then one day the cat ran away. Sometime later, it's not readily clear from the article how long later, a second person adopted the cat through an adoption agency that had, you know, rescued the cat, found him probably on the street, and then put him up for adoption. So the original owner, I guess, did some kind of search to try and find the cat. It's not clear at this point how long after this took place or, you know, the methods the original owner used to try and find the cat, but eventually they located the cat. And then since then, this sort of custody battle has gone on. Apparently there was an original law, and this was in the state of New York. The original law from 1894 said that once a pet is lost for 48 hours or, you know, without the owner was without the pet for 48 hours, then their rights are relinquished. But the court has changed that with this case and says that the rights are not relinquished until after 48 hours after the cat's registered with the animal control is being recovered. So the case is going to go to trial. The New York Times article doesn't seem to know whether or not the cat was in this database or not. So that's going to have to come out at trial to be able to determine whether or not, you know, the original owner should have known that the cat, you know, where the cat was through this database and should have, you know, tried sooner to find the cat. You know, this is kind of a scary story for me considering that Simba is an adopted cat. I have no idea who the original owner was. I have no idea the original circumstances under which he ended up at the shelter where I found him. But on the other hand, it's also scary from the other side. Like, if he, let's say, somehow got out of the apartment, which obviously is not going to happen here. I live in a high rise. But, you know, so let's say that happened and he's gone and then someone else adopts him. I'd obviously want to try and get him back. But I think that if the second he was gone, I would be calling animal control trying to find him. So I don't know if, I'm thinking that would be enough then to, you know, keep my parental rights as it is, you know, for the cat, because I would be, you know, at no time just letting him be gone. I mean, he's not an outdoor cat, so I certainly wouldn't, you know, wait a couple days for him to come back or anything like that. So, I mean, all around, it's just kind of a scary story. Just because of the uncertainty of the whole thing. I mean, I certainly wouldn't want someone come knocking on my door now, you know, 4 years after I've had this cat and try and get him back. I mean, that would be that would be rather upsetting, to say the least. And I would certainly put up a big fight. But there you have it. Some law-related story on a podcast that's name is titled after a legal term. Shocking. And I've actually finally talked about the law. So there you have it. So next up is a story about penguins. Now, after cats and probably llamas being my second favorite, penguins are my third favorite animal. So knowing that, my brother sent me this link to the story about penguins, which I'd actually already seen this morning and planned to talk about it. But thanks to him for sending me the link to this penguin story. It's out of Tokyo. And in the zoo in Tokyo, they've instituted a plan, sort of an exercise regimen for the king penguins there, because they'd been getting too pudgy in the wintertime, because naturally penguins in the winter kind of cluster together and, you know, stand still to try and, you know, get warmth off of each other. And so in order to, I guess, work off this winter weight that the penguins have, the zoo started this program where they walk them back and forth on the zoo grounds about 500 yards. There's a cute little picture of them on the CNN website of them marching along. But what I don't understand is, I mean, in the wild, at least the emperor penguins that I saw in March of the Penguins, you know, they all stood, that was sort of the natural thing, is you stand there huddled in the cold during the winter, and then in the summer you do long walking. But I mean, if it's a natural thing, why are they, you know, forcing them to walk in order to do this exercise thing? I mean, if they're naturally supposed to be gaining weight in the winter, I'm a little uncertain why they're sort of forcing them into this exercise regimen. But maybe they don't get enough exercise in the summer. They don't do long walks that they're supposed to, or whatever. Who knows? I am no penguin expert, although I do enjoy them very much. And speaking of March of the Penguins, if you haven't seen it yet, it is on DVD now, and I highly recommend it. Although, a word of warning, afterwards you may in fact want your own baby penguin. After we saw it in the theater, Prince E told me he would buy me a baby penguin, and yet I'm still waiting for mine. So hopefully that'll be coming any day now. One last animal thing. It's not really a story, but I was reading on the ASPCA website today about sort of tips for the holidays and how to keep your pets safe. I mean, a lot of these things are common sense, but I thought I would just read a few of them that I was a little surprised by. One of the things was the Christmas tree water, sort of the, you know, the water that builds up in the, you know, in the tree holder stand thing. It may contain fertilizer, and it may upset the animal's stomach. So I know Simba, for one, likes to drink out of things he shouldn't be drinking out of. So just keep that in mind if, you know, kind of keep your pets from drinking out of the water in the tree base. The other thing was that in addition to poinsettias, other holiday flowers can also be dangerous for animals, including lilies, tiger lilies, Asian lilies, and Casablanca lilies. Actually can cause kidney failure in cats, so it's pretty serious. So keep that in mind. Also, tinsel is not an animal's friend, so be on the lookout. Maybe keep the tinsel up on a certain part of the tree or something like that, so that you will, prevent your cat or dog from ingesting that. It's just a little public service announcement here from Unpublished Opinion. We want our pets to enjoy the holidays as much as we do. Finally, today I'd like to talk about what I consider to be one of the big perks about working in the downtown loop area in Chicago, and that is getting free stuff. Periodically throughout the year, various companies will have people standing on the street handing out little freebies. Some of them are good, some of them are crap. But I probably get something about once a week at least, I would say. Some of the best things I've gotten, last year, ComEd, which is the electrical company here, handed out little brushes to clean your keyboard out, which is handy if you happen to eat at your desk, which I do. And they also, on a different occasion, ComEd handed out little screen things to clean your computer screen. So those have both been good. One of the crappiest things I think I got was from McDonald's when they instituted their fruit parfait thing or whatever. I don't know, some fruit thing they had. Their promotion was they handed out a fork and, like, I think a 50-cent off coupon. I was like, what kind of promotion is that, handing out a fork? Because it's funny, whenever I see the little people standing on the corner with the bags, I can tell they're handing something out. I always make a beeline over them, make sure I can get whatever it is. Sometimes if there's more than one of them, I'll try and catch them on the way back, too, so I can get more than one if it's something cool. I've gotten other things over the time, perfume samples, candy samples, which is good if it's a new candy. I can decide if I like it before I buy it. But it's always, interesting and exciting when I see the little people standing there ready to hand out something free. So today, I saw two guys dressed like King Tut. So, of course, I knew they had to have been handing something out. So I headed over to them. And they were actually handing out the little hand warmers. It's like a gel. I don't know if you see it. It's like a gel, which I guess you put in a little packet, and you warm it or rub it, and it warms, and then you can hold it. It's supposed to last, 5 hours or something to keep your hands warm. So they were handing those out, and it was courtesy of the Fort Lauderdale, Visitors Bureau. So there was a little thing on there saying something about, are you cold? Come to Fort Lauderdale, which I thought was sort of a mean tactic because they know we're all cold, and they're trying to buy into that to get us to go to Fort Lauderdale. So that was at lunchtime, and then this afternoon as I was leaving work, I saw this truck go by that had a completely clear glass enclosed back, and inside there was a little beach scene of like a guy, walking down the beach, and there was, sand and sun and all of that, and it was also from Fort Lauderdale. It said, their website name, come to Fort Lauderdale. And I guess they're having some big campaign here in Chicago to try and get us cold people to head down there. So I just thought it was kind of funny. But thanks for the free hand warming gel, Fort Lauderdale. I'll be sure and use it the next time I'm at a outdoor sporting event. And with that'll do it for this edition of Unpublished Opinion. Be sure to visit my blog at simbasmom.blogspot.com, and you can email me at unpublishedopinion@sbcglobal.net, and be sure to vote for me at podcastalley.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you soon.